we started looking at this last, the Thursday before vacation, but we didn't get very far. We went through it quickly. I want to go over a little bit more. We didn't look at the PowerPoint. We just looked at the code, yeah. Pardon me?
This computer's busted.
Okay, move to the next one.
I just want to let you know.
Thank you. That means that the two are both ends of that. Because his is too, over in the corner. Mm-hmm. So. Well, we have a reasonably low number of people. Either people aren't over vacation or they didn't want to be locked down. Pardon me?
Said probably that they didn't be wanted because they didn't want them.
Yeah.
Also means that they get a little bit longer vacation.
That's right. It is tempting. Okay, it's after 11, so we'll start. So the first one I did on this, I said to the logic was to generate a random number and then have the user hit in a guess. Okay, so I generate a random number, so that means the computer picks a random number. And then I say, okay, now the user is going to try to guess that random number. Now, in the code, I actually, after I generated the random number, I actually wrote it out just so people could see it. And therefore test better. Because if you don't know what the random number is, you don't know how you test it. Okay, you're going to know what it is. So I then said, okay, now is the random number equal to the guess? If they're equal to the guess, I got it. If the random number is not equal to the guess, then I say, is it greater than the guess? And if that's true, then the guess is too low. Otherwise, the guess is too high. Okay, so at this point, I don't have any way to guess a second time. So I made the comment down here, if I insert a decision here that tells me that I want to continue if the guess was not correct. Okay, so if the guess is not correct, I'm going to put a decision here that loops back and lets them guess again. Okay, so I'm going to keep going through this loop multiple times. But the first program that I wrote just gave you one guess. That's all it gave you. Okay. So if I look at the code that goes with that, okay, first of all, this is how you generate a random number. You say math random, and that's a function within a JavaScript that produces a random number. Floor means I want to have a whole number. And then plus one means it would start with zero if I didn't tell it that. So plus one means start with one. And five means that's the max. So if I want a random number between one and 25, I would write 25 there instead of five. So this generates the random number, and as I said, I write it out and write a blank line after it, just so that when I'm testing, I can test it correctly. Because if I don't know what the random number is, I don't know if the comparison is being correctly made. So now I put out a prompt, and again, window dot is not needed. And I turn the prompt into an integer so that I will have a whole number. And then if the person entered a decimal. And then I compare. And remember that if I'm looking for equals, I use a double equal sign. So I compare. And if it is right, I say, you got it. Else, I ask if the random number is greater than my guess, it's too low. Else, it's too high. Okay, so now I want to go back and I want to add in a test so that they can play it again. Okay, that was what I generated. So now I'm going to do the insert a decision here, and that's on the next slide. So the decision I put in here is if the random number is not equal to the guess, okay, if the random number is not equal to the guess, then I loop back up and let them guess again. If the random number is equal to the guess, I'm out of here. Okay, it's done. They guessed it, I'm done. So I stop. So if the random number is equal to the guess, I just dropped out. And notice that the explanation equals means not equal to. Okay. So this one then goes back. I put in another guess. Notice that I didn't generate a new random number. Because if I change random numbers, then it's a moving target. Okay, so I have to keep the random number the same throughout all of the guesses. So the loop goes in after the random number is generated, but before the user makes their guess. Questions? Okay. And this just shows it being played. And this shows the code. Okay. So I added the code while the random number is not equal to my guess. And I put it inside a do loop. So I made a do loop and I put it inside the do loop because I wanted to have multiple guesses. So I made a do loop. I put in the curly braces around all the things that I wanted inside the do loop. And then I put in the test to get out of it. Now I decided to do a do while because that means you'll always do it once. And I decided that doing it once was what I wanted. I wanted to force the person to play the game once at least. Okay, make one guess. So I decided to put it in that way. Okay, so there's the do loop. Then I said, okay, now I would like to have it so that they can guess, play another game. Okay, so I want them to play another game, so I'm going to add another loop. So I'm saying, if they got it right, I ask them the question, do you want to play again? And I take in the user's response. Okay? And if it's not equal to N, if it's N, I get out. But if it's not equal to N, I loop back up. And this time I come in before the generating of the random number. Because now I want to play the game again, so I want to generate the random number again. Make a new random number, and then let the user try to guess what that random number is. So I've got two loops here. This is the inner loop, and this is about the game, one game. And this is the outer loop. And the outer loop is, do you want to play again? So I've got two loops set up. So when I look at the code for this, I'm going to have two do loops. So if I look at the code for this, and the code is unfortunately kind of running off the page. But you can see I have two do loops, okay? And this is the one that generates a new random number to play it again. This is the one that I keep going through if I haven't won the game, okay? And if you go back over and look at the code, which I actually thought I brought up, but apparently didn't, So if I go back over to programs and pick guess multiple games, there is the code. Okay, and that shows the code. So I have the two do loops. One is the inner do loop, and that's right there. And one is the outer do loop, which is right there. And the inner loop is the one I play until I get the right answer. Then I ask, do you want to play again? And depending on their response, I go back. Okay. So if they say anything other than N, I go back. If they say N, I drop out, and that's capital N, I should add. Questions? Does it make sense? I've got a few nods in the favor of making sense. Okay. Okay, so a couple of other examples that I want to look at. If you go back to my home page for this week, I've got a while solution to problem number one, okay, that we went over and you did it by hand. So we're going to look at this problem. The answer was 48.15. And if you remember, we did these in class. We went through the logic and did it in class. So what I did, if you remember, was we set first num equal to 100, second num equal to 5, third num equal to 12, and the result equal to 0. And then I said, while second num is less than or equal to third num, I wanted to do this loop. And we went through and did that and came out with the answer 48.15. Okay, so this was the program that we did, worked on in class, where we stepped through and wrote out the numbers and came up with the solution. So if second num is less than or equal to third num, then we asked, is first num greater than 500? If it is, we did those two things, else we did these two things. We kept doing it while second num was less than or equal to third num. When it finally wasn't, we wrote out the result by adding them all up and writing out the result. Okay, so I had given you the pseudocode. This is now the code that goes with it. Okay, so if you go back, let's see. What week was that in? Practice exercise. Oops. I just messed it up. Okay, so there was the practice exercise. And we asked, I said I wanted to set up those variables, then I wanted to do that test. If it was greater, do this, else do that. When the loop was done, we'll write it out. So that was the pseudocode that went with it. Okay, so that was the pseudocode. and there is what I thought I'd lost. And nope, that's the my guess. Nope. I have too many things open. Maybe I will be back. Okay, so that's the real code. So I have the pseudocode, and there's the real code. Okay. And then if you look at the next one, the second one is the one that you did in class, okay? And you can go back and look at the pseudocode for that, but here's where I set everything up, okay? And then I did a while count is less than six, okay? I didn't happen to write there next to those. It's always a good idea, but it's not required, and so I got away with that. So I wrote the things, and then I said, while count is less than six, I wanted to do a calculation, ask a question, and do the code. So that's the code that goes with the second one that we did in class. Okay? And hopefully those will be a little bit of help when you try to do the homework as well. Questions? Okay. That pretty much wraps up JavaScript. Questions about JavaScript in general. You have a second assignment that I gave you the week before vacation that's due this Thursday. So you should work on trying to get that done. A few people have already passed it in. Okay. Questions. Okay. Then we are going to take a break. And I'm going to try to close up all of the things that are floating around. We're going to take a break from programming, and we're going to do one of the other topics that we need to do in this class, which is look at numbering systems. So this is a handout that I wrote many years ago. It works just fine to explain numbering systems. But at the end, it goes into codes. And the codes are out of date. They're IBCDIC and other codes that aren't used very much anymore. ASCII is the code we're going to look at. So basically, you can kind of ignore the last part of this when it gets into codes. But the first part of the handout that goes into numbering systems don't change. So it's just fine. So, the first thing we see here is decimal, and we all know how decimal works, hopefully. Positions and face value are the two things that give a number. So, if I have a 4 and it's in the units or 0 position, or the 1 position, or the 2, or the 3, it's worth different things. So if I have the face value of 45724, I multiply this 10 to the 0 times 1, or the unit's position. So 1 times 4 is 4. The 2 is over in the next position, and it's 10 to the first. So it's in the tens position, so it's worth 20. The 7 is in the third position in. it's in the 10 squared or the hundreds position, so it's worth 700. And the 5 is at the 10 cubed or thousands position, so it's worth 5,000. Okay? We know this instinctively with decimals. We've been brought up with it since before kindergarten, probably. So we know this instinctively in decimal. But this applies to every numbering system. So when I get into the binary numbering system, it applies to that. Okay, binary numbering systems have only 0 and 1. Those are the only two digits. And since they are only 0 and 1 and only two digits, it is a base 2. Okay, binary is base 2. Decimal has 10 digits, 0 through 9, so it is base 10. Binary is base 2. So the thing that changes is the positional values are now 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1st, 2 squared, 2 cubed, and so forth. So they're powers of 2. Whereas decimal is powers of 10, binary is powers of 2. Okay? So if I want to know what this number is worth down here, I start out and I say, okay, and I can start at either end. So I started here with 2 to the 6, and it has a 1. So 1 times 2 to the 6 is 1 times 64, or 64. 0 times 2 to the 5th is 0 times 32, or 0. 1 times 2 to the 4th is 1 times 16. 1 times 2 to the 3rd is 1 times 8. 0 times 2 squared is 0 times 4. 1 times 2 to the 1st is 2. And 1 times 2 to the 0 is 1. When I add those up, I find out that 101101 is equal to 91. Okay, so it is equal to 91. So that's converting binary to decimal. So if I give you the number 1 number down below tells me the base. Okay, so what is that in decimal? Remember, it's face value times positional value, and the positional value are powers of 2.
What is it?
45. Yep. Anybody get 45? This is 101101. So this is 2 to the 0, which is defined as 1. This is 2 to the 1st, which is defined as 2. This is 2 squared, which is defined as 4.
2 cubed, which is 8, 2 to the 4th, which is 16, and 2 to the 5th, which is 32. You go what?
I got 45.
You go 45 too?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now I say basically 1 times 32. That's 32. 0 times 16 is 0, so I don't even have to write anything down. 1 times 2 to the 3rd is 1 times 8. 0 times 2 to the 1st is 0 times 2, which is 0. Did I skip one?
Yes.
Yeah, I did. Sorry about that. The 8 is right, but I skipped one. Okay? And I skipped the 2 cubed. No, that's 32, not 16. I need 8. Then I need 4. 1 times 2 squared is 4. So I need 4. I don't need 2. I need 1. So I add these up, and it's 45. Now, what I did, if you notice, is any place that had a 1 on it, I said, okay, I need that, because 1 times something is the something, right? 1 times 32 is 32. 1 times 8 is 8. So any time that had a 1 above it, I just took that number and wrote it down. Anything that had a 0 above it, I ignored, because 0 times something is 0. So I just looked where the 1s were, and I wrote down 32, because it had a 1 over it. I wrote down 8, because it had a 1 over it. 4, because it had a 1 over it. And 1, because it had a 1 over it. Okay? So, let's try another one. This one was 45 in decimal. That was 45 in decimal. Let's try 11011. Anybody else get 27?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Because the things, and I don't even bother to write the 2 to the, I just write under it 1, 2, 4, 8, 16. Okay, because I know that's what it is. I don't have to write the 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1st. I just write 1, 2, 4, 8, 16. And so in this case, the 16 has a 1 over it, the 8 has a 1 over it, the 2 does, and the 1 does. So that was 27. Okay? So this is equal to 27. Okay, let's try one more of these. has anybody got?
I got 187.
Is that what you got? Anybody else got 187? You do? You do? Okay. So my guess is that's correct. So I'm going to write underneath it 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. So the 128 is on, the 32 is on, 16 is on, 8 is on, 2 is on, 1 is on. And then I just have to add those up. 7, carry the 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 187. So I've got 187 decimal. Okay? Okay. So, binary again is the numbering system of computers. Okay, zeros and ones are turned on and off. When you type the A on the computer, you get 8 binary bits being stored on the computer as the A. There's a combination of ones and zeros in those 8 binary bits that stand for an A. And a capital A is different than a lowercase a, which is why JavaScript doesn't include capital A's and lowercase a's as the same thing, because the binary code for a capital A is different than the binary code for a lowercase a. Okay, it makes a different group of 8 binary bits. So that's why we're learning binary, and then we will get into code next Tuesday. Because this Thursday, and I should have said that at the beginning of class, this Thursday is a catch-up lab. So from 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock at night, this room will be open. If they throw us out for some bizarre reason, although I've reserved it, then the help desk will know where we are. But I believe we're all set, and we're in this room, okay? Lindsay will be here. I will be here, I hope. There's a vague problem. My son-in-law is having major surgery tomorrow. And so if there are problems, I may not be here, which is why I chose that day for the lab day.
Sorry.
Okay? Pardon me?
Sorry to hear that.
Thank you. And so, anyway, hopefully everything will go well and I will be here, but Lindsay will definitely be here, and it will definitely be an open lab to get help.
I'll be here.
Okay. So, now the next thing we're going to look at is converting decimal to binary. Okay. So, the example in this sheet for converting binary to decimal got me a 91. Now what I'm going to do is convert back. So I'm going to convert from decimal to binary. So that means I'm going to start with the 91. And I'm going to say 91 decimal equals what in binary. So I'm now converting the decimal to binary. Okay, so the way I do that is I write out the powers of 2 going across here. And again, as I said, you don't really have to write the powers of 2. You can just write 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, and not write the 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1st, and everything. So if I have 91, if I put in the next one, which is 2 to the 7th, which is 128, that's bigger than 91. So I can't have that turned on. What I'm going to do here is figure out what things to turn on to make 91, and that's too big. So 64 is the first thing I turn on. So 91 minus 64 is what?
27.
27, okay? So 91 minus 64 is 27. So now I say, okay, can I use the 32? No, because the 32 is bigger than the 27, so I put a zero in there. Okay? So then I say, all right, can I use the 16? I've got 27 I've got to account for. Can I use 16? Yes, because 16, okay, leaves me 11. So I use the 16. Okay? Because I'm using the 16.
So would this be like memory space you're using?
Well, I mean, 8 binary bits makes a byte, yeah, and a character takes up a byte of memory.
All
right. Or 8 binary bits, okay? But right now, we're not really dealing with code. Right now, we're just learning binary. And then we'll get into dealing with code, as I said, next Tuesday. So, now, can I use an 8?
Yes.
Yes. And that leaves me 3. So I can use the 8, so that gets a 1 in it. Okay? Can I use the 4?
No.
No. So that gets a 0. Okay? Can I use the 2?
Yes.
Yes. So I put in the 2 and I get 1 left. Can I use the 1?
Yes.
Yes. And my goal here, obviously, is to end up with 0 at the end. Okay? So what I ended up doing was turning on the 64, turning on the 16, turning on the 8, turning on the 2, turning on the 1, okay, which made 91. So that converted back. So the binary is 101101011. Okay, so that's the binary for 91. And again, right now, we're not using computer codes. I will show you how to do that in computer codes. But this, right now, we're just learning how to manipulate in binary. Okay. So, the last one we did was 187, right? So try the 187. If I have 187 in decimal, and you can then check your answer because we already did it the other way. So what's 187 going to be? Thank you, sir. And yes, you've got the answer, but you're supposed to still do it. Okay, has anybody got the same answer that we started out with? So we're going to start out by writing across 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, and the next number after 128 is 256. We can't use that. That's bigger, so I don't need that. Okay. So I start out with 187, and I say, yes, I can use 128. So 187 minus 128 is what, 59? Okay, so I use that. Can I use the 64?
No.
No, because I'm looking for something I can, whoops. Let's make that a legitimate zero. I'm looking for something I can subtract from 59. So can I use 32? Yeah.
Yes.
So I put in 32, that leaves me 27. And I put a 1 here. Can I use the 16?
Yes.
Yes. So that leaves me 11 left. Can I use the 8?
Yep.
Yep, and that leaves me 3 left. Can I use the 4? No. Can I use the 2?
Yes.
Yes. That leaves me 1 left. And I'll use the 1, that leaves me 0 left. So it is 10111011. Okay? And that's what it translates back to. Okay, so that is binary arithmetic. Or not binary arithmetic, sorry, binary conversion. We'll actually get into binary arithmetic at some point. Come on. Saving ink notes, how long does it take you? Okay. So, now we're looking at binary, and the next thing I want to do is binary counting. In decimal, 9 is the highest digit we have. When we add 1 to it, we move over a position, so the answer is 10. In binary, 1 is the highest digit we have. So when we add 1 to it, we move over to 10. So 1 plus 1 is 10. Okay? And we can figure that out. Okay? 1 plus 1 is 10. Okay? Now, what is 10 in decimal? 2. 10 is 2 in decimal, right? If I make this 2 to the 0, 2 to the first, 0, okay? 1. 0, sorry. Okay, so that's 2, right, in decimal? So this is a 2 in decimal. And in decimal, 1 plus 1 is 2. Okay, so that works. It's correct. Okay, so 1 plus 1 is 10. One to that, 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. When I add that, I get 1, 0, 1. Then when I add one more, 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1, 1. And then when I add 1 to that, 0, 1. And when I add 1 to 1, 1, 1, 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Okay. So that's how I can add in binary. And what I end up with is that a decimal in 0 is a binary 0. A decimal 1 is a binary 1. Decimal 2 is 1, 0. Decimal 3 is 1, 1. 4 is 1, 0, 0. And we keep going, okay? Now, if you look at it, for example, 7, okay, 7 in decimal is equal to 1, 1, 1 in binary. And if I look at that, what's 1, 1, 1? 1, 2, 4. 4 plus 2 is 6, plus 1 more is 7. So it's 7. Okay? 8 in decimal is equal to 1, 0, 0, 0 in binary. And if I put down the 1, 2, 4, and 8, the 8 is the only one that has a 1, so it's the only one turned on. So that means it's 8 in decimal. So that's how I can convert back and forth and how I can also add. Okay? So that's the equivalence in binary. Questions? Okay, now, if you get a dump of memory, and every character is represented by a series of ones and zeros, that means every character you type in is 8 binary ones and zeros. And a word that's 4 characters is going to be 32 binary ones and zeros. And you try to read what's in memory and you give up because a whole string of ones and zeros is just hard to read. So the decision was that we needed kind of an intermediary. And so what they looked at is 4 binary bits. So all of these binaries take up 4 binary bits. 1111 is the biggest on 4 binary bits. Okay? And they wanted a numbering system that would store, would be able to give a one-digit answer for 4 binary bits. And decimal clearly can't do that. Okay, 4 binary bits is 8421, which is 15. So they decided to go to hexadecimal. And hexadecimal starts out with 0 and it goes all the way down to 9. So 0 down to 9. But then hexadecimal needs other digits. Hexadecimal means base 16. So it needs 16 digits. Just like decimal needs 10 digits, binary needs 2 digits, hexadecimal needs 16 digits. And so when they got to 9 in hexadecimal, they said, okay, we're going to make A, B, C, D, E, F, all digits. So 9, and then A is equivalent to a decimal 10, B is equivalent to an 11, C is equivalent to a decimal 12, D is a 13, E is a 14, F is a 15. So using hexadecimal, I can express any binary, any four binary digits with one hexadecimal. And I can express every hexadecimal with four binary bits. Okay? So what it means is every four binary bits can be shown with one hexadecimal, with one hexadecimal digit. Okay? And the converse is that every hexadecimal digit can be shown with four binary bits. So they match each other. So that's why hexadecimal came into play and why it was determined that hexadecimal was going to be the numbering system that you could translate in. Okay, so I said that every character that you hit on the keyboard makes eight binary bits. So that means every character I hit on the keyboard can be represented with how many hexadecimal digits? Two. Because I've got eight binary bits, four and four, so I can represent it with two hexadecimals. And it's a lot easier in memory to read the two hexadecimal digits and know what character it is than eight binary bits. And that's why hexadecimal came into being. So the hexadecimal numbering system is base 16 because there are 16 digits, 0 up through F. F stands for 15. So there are 16 digits. So hexadecimal is powers of 16. Okay. So 16 to the 0 is defined as 1. 16 to the 1st is 16. 16 squared is 256. And 16 cubed is 4096. And 16 times 4,096 is whatever, okay? So it just keeps going with powers of 16, okay? So I can write down a number like I did up here, which is A359. And A is a perfectly decent digit if you've got hexadecimal. So you've got A359, and when I put the little 16 down there, it tells me that this is a hexadecimal number. Okay? It is always a good plan to write the little subnumber to let you know what numbering system you're in. Okay? We assume decimal. If nobody tells us anything different, we assume that we're in the decimal numbering system. So, if I want to find out converting hexadecimal to decimal, okay, if I want to convert hexadecimal to decimal, I take the face value and I multiply it by the positional value. So, A times 16 cubed is equivalent to 10 times 4096. Or 40,960, because A is equivalent to a decimal 10, B is equivalent to an 11, and so forth. Okay. So then I multiply 3 by 16 squared, or 3 times 256. Then I multiply 5 times 16 to the first, or 5 times 16. And then I multiply 9 times 16 to 0, which is 9 times 1, and I add them up. Okay. Okay, so the equivalent of a hexadecimal 839 is a decimal 41817. So this is equal to 41817 in decimal. So if I give you the number C8E in hexadecimal, what is that going to be in decimal?
Yeah.
I got 3,201.
Anybody else got that?
3,214.
He's got 2,314. You got 2,001. Anybody else got a number? Okay. We will wait and see what other numbers come up. Again, you're multiplying 16 to the zero power. Okay, 16 to the zero power is defined as 1. And then 16 to the first power is 16. And then 16 to the second power is 256. Okay? And E is equivalent to what in decimal?
14.
That's why you went off, probably. E is a 14. What's a C?
12.
Okay, because decimal hex. Okay. Decimal 10 is an A. 11 is a B. 12 is a C. 13 is a D. 14 is an E. 15 is an F. Okay. So I end up with 12 times 256 plus 8 times 16 plus 14 times 1, right? So what's 16 times 256? I saw a lot of calculators
going. 3,072. 3,072 plus 16 or 8 times 16 rather plus 8 times 16 what's 8 times 16 128.
That was a 2 that you said 3072 yep. okay and what did you say 8 times 16 is 128 128. And what is 14 times 1?
14.
14. So if I add these up, 4, carry the 1, 8, 10, 11, carry the 1, 2, 3, 2, 1, 4. Okay. So this is equivalent to 3, 2, 1, 4. Okay, so again, I'm multiplying face value times positional value. And to do that, I have to convert the face value over the decimal, and then I have to put the positional value for the powers of 16. And then I can multiply it through. So C times 256 is 3072. 8 times 16 is 128, and 14 times 1 is 14. Okay? Questions? Okay, let's try another one. Let's try BF2. Already, huh? I'm not even trying to do this. I need paper and pencil. I want you to know how to do this, because this is one of those skills that if you're in the computer field, you should know how to do. But, in fact, if you pick up your calculator, phone, whatever, and switch over to this kind of math, because your calculator will have a long bunch of different ways of doing things, you can check your answer. So, you will know that you got the right answer. So the homework I give you, I say this is one of the few things that I say you have to pass in your work, because I don't want you using the calculator except to check it. Everybody should get 100 because you should use your calculator to check it, but I want to see your work so that I know you know how to do it. Okay, so this one is going to be what? Does anybody have an answer? Yeah.
3,058.
3,058. Anybody else got that? 3,058. Okay. So we're going to take B, which is what?
11.
11. Times 16, or 256, basically. Times 256, F, which is 15, okay, times 16, and 2 times 1, okay? So B times 256 is what? 11 times 256 is what?
2,816.
2,816. Okay, 15 times 16 is what?
240.
What?
240.
240. And I can do 2 times 1. And it comes out to be 3,058. Okay. Questions? Convince it to take pictures. Come on. There. Okay, the next one going down is how to go from decimal to hex. Okay? So again, what we're going to do when we go from decimal to hex is we write down the powers of 16, and then we determine how many of those we can use. Okay? So when we come to doing converting decimal to hex, we write down the powers of 16, and then we convert it back. Okay? So if I had, what was the last one I gave you? BF2, right?
Yeah.
I gave BF2, and that was in hex. And what was it in decimal?
3058.
3058 in decimal. So the following steps are used to convert decimal to hexadecimal. I write down the powers, and then I determine how many of them I can use. Okay? So I write down the powers, which are 16 to the 0, which is 1, 16 to the 1st, which is 16, 16 squared, which is 256. The next one up is 4,096. Okay, so 4,096 is 16 cubed. Well, if I'm looking for 3,058, I don't need 4,096, right? So I can forget about that. So the first thing I figure out is how many 256s can I take from 3,058? Okay? Now, when I'm doing this, lots of times I play around with it and say, okay, 10 of those, okay, 10 256s I can definitely subtract, because 10 of them is 2560. So it's a little bit more than that. And I play around, therefore, with 11 or 12. Okay, now we know that 11 is the right answer. So what's 11 times 256?
2,816.
2,816. Okay. So that was 11 times 256. Okay. So we have 11 times 256, and then we subtract, we've got 242 left. And we can't use another 256. Sometimes when I do my guess and do a subtraction, I have more than 256 left, and then I say, okay, my guess was one shot. I'll go up a little bit. So that means I have an 11, and 11 is a B. So I write the B over there, since I'm writing in hexadecimal, the B goes over there. Okay, so I've got 242, so how many 16s go into 242? And we know the answer, that it's 15. And what's 15 times 60?
240.
So that means that I subtract 240, and that means I used 15 times 16. So I'm going to put an F there, because 15 is an F. And that leaves me with 2, and so I put the 2 over the 1, and that gives me my answer. So that's how I convert from decimal, okay, to hex. Okay, so here's the counting. And I just did the binary, hexadecimal, and decimal. And my line is right here. 4 binary bits can be represented with 1 hexadecimal digit. And every hexadecimal digit can be represented with 4 binary bits. Okay? So that shows the counting. Now, the fun part of this is the next set of conversions, which is converting from binary to hexadecimal. And that's real easy. So if I have a number that is 1101001, for example, I can divide this starting over here in groups of four. And this time I have a perfect group of four. If I only had three characters out there in the 1101, I'd put a leading zero in to make four. Okay, because I want four, and leading zeros don't have any value. So underneath each one of these, I'm writing 1, 2, 4, 8. 1, 2, 4, 8. So I can just go in and convert it very easily by writing the 1, 2, 4, and 8. And so this is 1 times 1 plus 1 times 2 is 3. So this is a 3. And this is 1, 2, 4, 8, 12, 13. So that's a 13. Okay. So that's going binary to decimal. And if I want to go binary to hex, the 13 is a what? D. Okay. So it's D3. Okay. So 1101001. In binary is equal to D3 in hex. Okay. So what would this one do? Very nicely has the little chart there that you can use. So if I break it down, 2, 3, 4, and then I can pretend there's a leading zero there. Okay? Because leading zeros don't change values. So 1110 is 2, 4, and 8 turned on, which is 14, which is an E. Or if I look over in this chart, 1110 is an E. The next one is 10, which is 2 is on, so I know it's a 2. The next one is 2 is on, 4 is on, so that's a 6. So that's 62E. And that's how I can go over. So, if I was given the number 62E, then I say, oh, I've got this number 62E in hex, and I know an E is 1110, I know a 2 is a 0010, I know a 6 is a 0110, so I've gone over to binary. Okay, so if I give you, in the 1 minute that we have left, if I give you the number, what did we do? If I give you the number C, D, F, what is that in binary? I simply say, what's an F? An F is 1111. What's a D? A D is 1101. What's a C? 1100. And let's say there was a 3 in front of it. A 3 is 0011. And so that's how I can convert back and forth between binary and hex. Because every 4 binary digits equals 1 hex. So if I break it up into groups of 4, I can figure out what 1 hex is for each of those.
Okay.
So there is the F, there is the D, there is the C, and there is the 3.
Only 1 minute over, not bad. If I hadn't waited 1 minute for the alarm to go off, we would have been all set. Okay. Open lab on Thursday. If you are behind, please try to come. Please, please, please. Okay?
All right. Can you actually come?